This podcast brought to you by Seats R Us. For a seat to suit, it has to be Seats R Us. Seatsrus.com.au.
Dan here with you, flying solo today. We are in lockdown, so we're social distancing, keeping our space and doing all the things we need to be doing. Pleased to be joined on the phone, Senator Lydia Thorpe. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, brother.
No worries. Now, look, straight off the bat, I just wanted to just pretend I'm an idiot. Explain to me what Senate estimates is, because it's something that I've been hit up for a lot because I've been talking about the amazing things you've been doing there at Senate Estimates. But can you explain to the mob what it is?
Well, don't feel like an idiot, because when I walked into that place, I had no idea either. I had to learn real quick.
Yeah.
But basically, Senate Estimates is a way that we can hold the government accountable. We can ask all government departments to appear, so they have to come on written request. We give a whole list of departments that we want to question about what they're doing with the money and the program that they're responsible for. So that's why it's important for MOB to, you know, give us questions to ask, because these governments need to be held accountable. Senate Estimates are three times a year, so the next one is just after the budget, and then we have one at the end of the year, and it takes 90 days or up to 90 days for them to respond to the questions that I asked at these last Senate Estimates. So, you know, they take their time to try and cover up as much as they can, but we know the truth out there. And I'm there to hold them accountable and ask the questions that my mob want me to ask.
And you do. You speak for the people. I see you on social media, and the questions that people are posing to you, they're the ones that you're delivering. You are the spokesperson for our people, and I can't say many politicians do that.
Well, you know, my grandmother's always told me, you never forget where you come from, and you never forget our struggle, and our people haven't had this voice before, and they haven't been able to ask these questions. We've been denied and we've been lied to, as you know, for over 200 years. So I'm honoured to have my mob give me that information so I can ask these followers in that place that
All right.
are rotting our money and our land and our water.
Well, they are rotting it, because you've called out these organisations, and particularly these big organisations, and they will have to respond. Who responds to this?
The heads of department.
Okay. Yep.
And then after that 90 days, if I'm not satisfied with the answers, then I go back at the next estimates and I go even deeper. Or in between, I can ask in Parliament.
All right. So who are the organisations that you called out, and what are you asking for, sis?
Well, I went hard on the mining companies because of what they're doing to our land and our water and our cultural sites, and the fact that they don't pay any corporate tax. So Fortescue Metals, Spotless Cleaning is another one. Like, there's so many big companies. I can't remember them all. It's too early for me this week. But, you know, I went for the mining companies mainly in the beginning, right through to Western Australian Police, who have Indigenous money, and I hate using that word, but blackfella money, to run their dog squad. No, sorry, to put accommodation, police accommodation in WA for WA Police.
Right.
Our money. The next one was Northern Territory Police, who use our money for their dog squad. Now, what are they using those police dogs for in the Northern Territory?
Mm.
And we're paying for that? That was disgusting when I read that and thought about the implications that has on our people. So, yeah, they were put on the spot, the department. They didn't have answers for the police funding. And right at the end, I asked about the Girls Academy and, you know, why they're cutting these real programs at work that are self-determined by our own people. They're the ones that work, and they're the ones that they're taking funds away from. And I've since heard from a lot of women who are involved in that Girls Academy, and the answers I got on that day were lies. So I'll be certainly investigating that one further, because all of the women that were involved in that program are no longer involved. It sounds like it, that program's been farmed out to bleeding heart white fellas who take our money.
Now, some of these companies have reported profits of billions of dollars, and they collectively received more than $53 million in funding through the Indigenous Advancement Strategy. How is that possible?
That's racist. That's racist.
Straight up.
And that's what we're dealing with. Straight up systemic racism. You know, and Abbott came up with this and this whole GAM and employment parity. You know, let's do an investigation or an inquiry on the parity. How many blackfellas have been employed? Who are these blackfellas that are being employed? You know, why are our people still struggling in communities? So they're looking after their mates. These same companies give the Liberal Party and the Labor Party donations for their elections. That's why the Greens are, you know, we're the battling kind of grassroots party that won't take their money. And that's why our campaigns aren't as big and flash and fancy as theirs. We can't afford the big posters on the big billboards, because these companies pay these two political parties to do favours for them. And look at that. Look what a favour Abbott did to these fellas.
Yep.
Came up and took our IAS money. Well, introduced the IAS. I was the NAIDOC chairperson at the time. And Victoria NAIDOC had no money when Abbott did that. So I know what the repercussions of that whole GAM and IAS scam is.
Yeah.
And we're going to get to the bottom of it. And I think it should be abolished. And grassroots communities get priority, not these mining companies.
That's this. Uncle Pat Dodson has come out. He's been very vocal. The Senator for WA on the 30th anniversary of the Royal Commission into Aboriginal Deaths in Custody. He tweeted, "This government is refusing to take responsibility for the growing crisis in deaths in custody. My question to multiple agencies in estimates revealed a lack of care and coordination. There must be national leadership on this issue." And he spoke very passionately as well, did Uncle, and received scoffs and laughing at the 500-plus deaths in custody. Just disgusting and disrespectful, but not surprising.
Well, it's really awkward for me, because I've only known him as Uncle Pat, and then to become a senator and have to call him, you know, Senator Dodson, it's just really white. but secretly, I still call him Uncle Pat, and in this space, I will. But I felt his heart bleeding at that table. He was involved in that Royal Commission, and as was my mum, and they worked very close together. So the pain in our uncle's eyes and his heart and in his voice when he asked those questions, and to get the ignorant, vile response that he got was unacceptable. And we'll continue to fight and get answers to those questions as well. And we work very close together on the death in custody stuff. You know, I'd rather him ask those questions, because he's the elder and he was there. And these fellas, you see how they squirm in their chairs. They know that we've joined forces. I'm getting the Black Caucus back together. We're meeting for the first time in September, and we're going to invite every black fella that I've come across, and others who I haven't, to come and be a part of it. I want to know what blackfellas are in that building. And, you know, we've got security guards, we've got cleaners, male and female, and they're feeling isolated. So I want us all to put the politics at the door and come in as black people and work out how we're going to be safe as black people in that space. And so I'm looking forward to that, because I've met with everybody and everyone's agreed. And, you know, we can change this place, but we all have to come from being a blackfella, not a politician.
Kate Ellis is the latest former MP to come out and basically say reaffirm what we've come to know about Parliament and what goes on there at the boys' club, I suppose, or the lads getting together for a big big piss up down there in Canberra when the when sitting's on. Look, she's come out in a bombshell interview with Australian Story, and lifted the lid, I suppose, on the toxic workplace culture in Parliament House that you've been talking about, Lydia, and many other females and men as well. Yeah, look, just another one in the long line of women who've had to endure this culture in Canberra.
Well, when I watched that last night, again, I was triggered. And every time the story comes out, every woman in that place is triggered. I've had a parliamentary staff member, so not a staff member of any party, just someone who works at Parliament. I commented on her incredible jacket that she had on and how powerful she looked as a woman, and she burst into tears. And I had to cuddle her because she said to me, I want to walk you back to your office. I feel the same way in here. So there's a lot of women that haven't spoken still about how fearful they are in that place. It's shameful. These fellas have got no respect for women whatsoever. You know, and this is, you know, you walk into a black community, you know you're safe. You know that everyone knows the rules, but you walk into this place and there ain't no rules. There's no respect for elders. There's no respect for women. They don't care. And these are the fellas that we need to get out of this place, and we can do it. We can do it.
We're hearing a lot. Sorry, go on.
Well, I've never, until this day, even when I was a electoral commission worker out at Lake Tyres, I never encouraged our people to vote because it is an illegal system that we're all a part of. But I now encourage blackfellas to get on the roll. We'll try and change the system in terms of the fines that you get if you don't vote. But we can change this government and we can change the system if we enroll to vote and vote the right way.
We're hearing about the extreme grog culture down there as well, excessive drinking and drug taking and doing this on, you know, doing this on Parliament grounds. Is it fair to say that there's a grog culture in Canberra amongst the politicians?
They have the audacity to talk about grog in our communities. Parliament House has got nothing their culture is disgusting. So people want to stop talking about grog in black communities and go to Parliament House and see the grog culture in that place. It is vile, it's disgusting, it's every day, it's just part of the workplace culture. What can I say? Mm. It's acceptable and these people think that they can get away with it.
And blackfellas are the drunks.
I think it should be. Oh, blackfellas always the drunks. Yep.
Okay. It's been a week for the PM. He was confronted in a press conference by, I believe it was a Sky News reporter, talking about the disgusting things that are going on down there. He attempted to deflect by saying that this organisation had a rape allegation levelled against them as well, which in fact turned out to be false. Why does this man not own up to his, he's in charge here. He's the one, it's on his watch. You know, he's not the cause of the problems, but he needs to fix them.
Imagine if he did. Imagine how many white, stale male ministers would have to go from his cabinet.
Well, Andrew Lamming should be gone.
Well, if Andrew Lamming goes now, then the government don't have the power in the lower house.
So that's why
it'll be a
around.
Minority government. Absolutely. They are only one person above to have power in this place.
Well, isn't that an even worse look for the government at the moment? In and amongst everything that's been going on, we've got a man who's taking photos up girls' skirts and bullying people online to the point where one of them was suicidal. This is not a man who's fit to be in any workplace.
Do you think that I feel safe going back there, knowing that there's a creep like that walking around the halls at night? And I can tell you now, a lot of other women would feel the same way. Why should we go back to our workplace when there's a known creep lurking around?
Mm.
Like, how is that allowed in our workplace? So I haven't spoken to my staff about this yet, but, you know, I want to protest that because I don't feel safe. It's not a toxic environment, and my health and well-being is more important, and I want to protest that, and I want to see how many other women protest that with me.
Well, is that the footy with the boys on the weekend, ScoMo, chugging beers with a team he doesn't even support, I might add. His team was beaten by that side, and he's in there sculling beers with the boys, and yet he doesn't have time to, you know, attend a female rally or speak with women.
He doesn't get it. He doesn't get it.
Did he do that on purpose?
Well, he's got to keep his mates happy, right? Look at the AFL. They just let Eddie back in. Hmm. So it's a boys' club. It's a boys' club. You know, you look at the headlines of the footy's back, the footy's back. Yet the AFL women had been playing for months. So they don't care about women. And that's what patriarchy is about. And that's what is part of the basis of colonisation, is this patriarchy. So that's what we have to get rid of. And we can do it. We've come a long way. We need to get all these other rallies to join forces with our rallies. And we need to just take over. It can be done. Believe me.
What happens now? We've got the reshuffle there. Yeah, let's do it. We've got the reshuffle there. Scott Morrison said he's going to fix the women problem, which is... Yeah. Anyway, the shuffle around, you know, Christian Porter moved, Defence Minister moved, and what happens now? What happens, you know, in terms of the calling of the election and the reshuffle there of the Cabinet?
Well, the reshuffle is obviously, you know, put a lot more women in more powerful positions, so that looks good for the government. Whether that makes any difference to the decisions they make is another thing. They've all got to toe their party line. And as far as the election's concerned, the word is that it'll be this time next year.
Right. Well, it's pretty transparent.
And
he's
down in the polls.
Yes. Poor old ScoMo. Well, we might have to leave it there, sis, but we'd love to get you back on next week and catch up and see how everything's going. And, of course, keeping them honest. You know, it's deadly to see the work that you're doing. It's inspiring. You know, many people have come to me and just, you know, said how much they love and appreciate what you're doing. So I'll pass that on from the mob here in Queensland.
Deadly.
Yeah.
I'm here for you. And I've just employed a black fella whose role is community liaison. So that means that because we have been inundated and our workload has just gone through the roof, we've now employed a black fella to be able to have those yarns with mob out there, take your concerns, take your ideas and put them forward. So, you know, reach out. Don't be ashamed. I'm here for you.
Good on you, sis. Senator Lydia Thorpe, we appreciate you and... yeah, take it easy. We'll yarn again soon.
Deadly, thanks.
This podcast brought to you by Seats R Us. For a seat to suit, it has to be Seats R Us. SeatsRUs.com.au.